ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। यो विघ्नतारितस्तस्य पुरुषस्य सकेश्वरा यन्नाभिज्ञायते पुंभि नामभिर्वा क्रियागुणै। Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The person I have described as unknown is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master and Eternal Friend of the Living Entity. Since the living entities cannot realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material names, activities, or qualities, He remains everlastingly unknown to the conditioned soul. Purport. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unknown to the conditioned soul, He is sometimes described in Vedic literatures as Nirakar, Avijñata, or Avan Manasa Gochara. Yes. Satchid Ananda Vigraha. As confirmed by the Padma Purana, Atasi Krishna Namadi Nababid Grayam Indriyai Sevan Muke Jibadhau Swayam Eva Spurati Adha. No one can understand Krishna as He is by utilizing the blunt material senses. However, the Lord reveals Himself to His devotees, being pleased with them because of their transcendental loving service rendered unto Him. Since the name, fame, form, qualities and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, cannot be understood by the material senses, He is also called Adoksaja, meaning beyond sense perception. When the senses are purified by devotional activity, the devotee understands everything about the Lord by the Lord's grace. In this verse, the words Pumbhi Namabhir Bakriya Gunahai are especially significant because God, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has many names, activities, and qualities, although none of them are material. Despite the fact that all these names, activities, and pastimes are mentioned in the sastras, and understood by the devotees, the karmis, fruitive laborers, cannot understand them. Nor can the jnanis, mental speculators, understand them. Although there are thousands of names of Lord Vishnu, the karmis and jnanis intermingle the names of the Supreme Godhead with the names of the demigods and human beings. Because they cannot understand the actual name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they take for granted that any name can be accepted. They believe that since the Absolute Truth is impersonal, they can call Him by any name. Otherwise, they maintain He has no name. This is not a fact. Here it is clearly stated, Namadhir Bhakriya Gunahai. The Lord has a specific names such as Rama, Krishna, Govinda, Narayana, Vishnu, and Adoksaja. There are indeed many names, but the conditioned soul cannot understand them. So Narad Muni continues explaining about the nature of the Self and the Supreme Self to King Pachinibarhi. Because King Pachinibhari was complaining, I cannot understand your explanation. The allegory that you explained previously cannot be understood by even a normal person. And he's a king himself, who's supposed to be broad-minded. What to say of just an ordinary person? So here, Narad Muni will actually repeat again. In order to get the message across to King Prachinibhari, because as a king, he has a very great responsibility, not just towards himself, but towards the whole kingdom. The leader is not responsible, not just for himself, but for his subjects mostly as well. So if King Pachinibhari will be able to understand this transcendental knowledge, consequently, he'll be able to rule his kingdom accordingly, in a very nice way. He'll be able to uplift all of his subjects, and thus, at the end of their life, they will also go back home, back to Godhead. So Narad Muni was explaining about one personality whom is always unknown to everyone, especially to those who are conditioned by the modes of material nature. Because one who is in the modes of material nature, undoubtedly he is in illusion or he is in Maya. And one who is in Maya, he does not know what is what. He considered a rope as a snake or a snake as a rope. And also, he does not know himself. He is bewildered because he is under the modes of material nature. His main intention or objective is just to satisfy his senses with the sense objects of the material energy. And in conclusion again, how can he understand the person who is the knower of everything? Prabhupada gave an example. We may know what's going on in us. If we have pain, you may not know if I have a pain. If you're happy, maybe it'll show, I'll know. But Krishna knows everything. Everyone's consciousness, everyone's motives or desires, Krishna knows. I don't know what is your desire, and you may not know what is my desire. But Krishna, who is the unknown person, he is the master and eternal friend of everyone. In the Vaishnava philosophy, we have this conception that Krishna, according to the previous acharyas, and specifically according to the sastras, which is our main praman, which is our main proof to establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever the sastra says, we follow. Prabhupada gave an example when he was given the lecture on the Shish Upanishad. I believe it's Shish Upanishad. He gave the example that the Vedas are like a mother. Whatever the mother says to the son just accepts. And the Veda says, stool of an animal is muchi. But then the Veda says that the stool of the cow is pure. And if you touch the stool of the cow, you don't get contaminated. On the other hand, you get more purified. You don't need to take a bath. But if we touch our own stool, we're not like Lord Rishabhadev. Rishabhadev, his stool can be so fragrant, can be smelled miles and miles away. As soon as we touch the stool, besides the cow's stool, then we have to take bath immediately. Or if we touch bone of a dead animal, we have to take bath also. But if you touch the conch shell, which is also a bone, and we use that for deity worship. So pure. So we accept what the Shastra says. And in the Vaishnava philosophy, especially, there are three conceptions of the Supreme Absolute Truth: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So depending on one's desire, how to conceive or see the Supreme Lord, then Krishna fulfills. For the mental speculators or those who just want to study the Vedas and will not come to the conclusion that Vedaisya Sarvair Aham Eva Vedya Vedantakrit Vedavit Eva Chaha, that Krishna or Vasudev is the conclusion, then they will conclude that Krishna or the Absolute Truth ultimately does not have a form. Nirakar. For those who are performing austerities, performing Astanga Yoga, performing Yama, Niyama, Pratyahara, all these things, Eightfold Yoga System, they will come to the conclusion that the Supreme Lord is present within everyone's heart as the Super Soul. His localized aspect. In the bigger scale, he is the Super Soul of this universe. But he's also Super Soul within everyone's heart. And for the Bhaktas, the devotees of the Lord who performs Bhakti Yoga or devotional service, they come to the conclusion that ultimately Krishna is full of six opulences. Bhagavan. Eti chamsa kalapumsam Krishna stu Bhagavan swayam. Krishna is full of six opulences, namely wealth, fame, beauty, strength, what do you call this? Renunciation. And what? Beauty. Knowledge. Yes, knowledge. To the unlimited extent. To the unlimited extent. That means there is a personality behind all of these six opulences. So it is true if others say that the Absolute Truth or the Lord has no form, that is true. And if someone says that the Absolute Truth or the Lord has a form, that is also true. But that is more true because that form of the Supreme Lord encompasses all the other aspects of the Supreme Truth, Tattva. So, in our philosophy, we consider the Supreme Lord as great, but also we understood that He can be our friend. He may be great. Supreme, but He can be also our friend. On the other hand, contrary, the other religion, they considered also the Supreme Lord as great, but they will never imagine or they will never comprehend that the Supreme Lord or God can be their friend. Correct or not? It's like He's very distant, very far away. But with Krishna, the devotee can see Him face to face through devotional service. Bhakchamam avinayati Yavasya Chasmitatvataha. Prabhupada explains here in the purport that one can understand in truth the Supreme Personality of Godhead when one is engaged in devotional service. So devotional service means engaging our senses for the pleasure of Krishna, not for my pleasure. That is not bhakti. If we please Krishna through our senses, uninterrupted, unmotivated, irregardless of one's position, then he or she is performing bhakti. And performance of bhakti actually only comes when one is in the Brahma Bhuta platform, self-realized person. In the beginning, actually what we're doing is we try to do bhakti, because we have different motives. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted to see the Supreme Lord because he wants to ask some kind of favor. He wants a kingdom better than his father. But when Krishna, or Lord Narayan, manifests himself and he gives his darshan, whatever motivation, personal motivation that Dhruva Maharaj has, vanished. He says, I don't want any more of these things. It's like I'm looking for a broken glass, pieces of glass. Now I find real diamond. I don't want any more. So similarly, by the process of bhakti yoga, we'll be able to understand Krishna. Krishna and his name are identical. Hari's name is Hari. And Hari's name is transcendental. There's no difference between Hari's name and Hari. Because it is spiritual. It is not of this world. It's not material. This is why you call absolute truth, supreme absolute truth. Everything that relates to the supreme truth, absolute truth, Lord Krishna, namely his name, his fame, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, are none different than the personality Krishna himself. This is what you call by absolute truth. So when we say the name Krishna, Krishna is there immediately, if it is uttered without any motivation, if it's uttered purely. Amongst all the angas of devotional service, there are 9 of them. Chanting, hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord is topmost. It is more superior than hearing and chanting the pastimes of the Lord. Sometimes devotees, they just want to hear the pastimes of the Lord, which is good. But these pastimes of the Supreme Lord will not reveal to ourselves if we don't do Harinam, chanting of the names of the Lord. So the names of the Lord is more superior, so to speak, amongst all the other angas or limbs of devotional service. So that's why Srila Prabhupada says that of all of my instructions, the most important is chanting of our 16 rounds minimum. Everything follows after that. But we take it for granted. We don't take it so seriously. Prabhupada says, chanting is very easy, but it becomes difficult because we don't have determination. What we want to do is just finish our rounds because it is our duty as initiated devotees or members of the Hare Krishna movement. It is our duty to chant because we promised to our spiritual master at the time of initiation that I will chant minimum of 16 rounds. So what is a duty without love? There are two things. Duty, and you do things out of duty, or you perform things out of love. So when we do things out of duty, we may just do it mechanically. Oh, I have to finish my rounds. It's like I was speaking to one devotee yesterday, asking, Prabhu, did you finish your rounds? Yes, I finished my rounds. Okay, so how long did you do it? Oh, I always finish my rounds by 7 o'clock in the morning. I start at 5:30. Yeah, can you kind of like show me how you chant your rounds? So he was chanting very fast. I said, how long does it take you to finish your rounds? Oh, between 3 and 4 minutes.
Whoa.
I said, you're very expert. You chant very fast. But are you hearing your chanting? It's not how fast we chant our rounds, it's how we hear our chanting. Because when we hear distinctly the holy names of the Lord, then it will have its full effect. We're not like parrots, that at the time of death, we'll not be chanting Hare Krishna. We'll be chanting quack, quack, quack. So, the devotee can know the Supreme Personality of Godhead through His name. This is the first introduction that we have with Krishna in the material world. Just like when you meet a person, what do you ask a person? What's your name? Right? You don't ask him where you're from. You ask him first, what's your name? Because you want to be acquainted with that person. You want to somehow or other show to that person that I want to be friendly with you. So I want to know your name, and I will tell you my name as well. So the first and foremost introduction that we have towards Krishna is His name. And Krishna has unlimited names. It's like Lord Vishnu has 1,000 names. Vishnu Sahasranam. Krishna has names according to His activities, according to His relationship with His devotees. Krishna is called Nandanandana, Yasodanandana, because of His relationship with His mother and father. Krishna is also known as Brahman or Paramatma. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there are two types of Krishna's names. One is primary and secondary. Primary names, especially those names that Krishna has some kind of rasa or relationship with His devotees. Like Gopal, His relationship with the cows. Govinda, His beautiful form. Shyama Sundar, Ram. And Krishna has unlimited expansions like Nisingha, Varaha. These are primary names. And the secondary names like Almighty, the Great One, or Paramatma, or Brahman. These are secondary names of the Supreme Lord. However, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when we utter the names, especially the primary names of the Supreme Lord, they have so much effect that the effect actually purifies one's consciousness. We have, nowadays, everybody has a cell phone, right? Even the rickshawala has a cell phone, or sabjiwala has a cell phone. So if they want to contact somebody, they just dial a number. As long as you have some credits inside. If you have no credit, then no call. So similarly, Krishna has a telephone number. Krishna's telephone number is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when we call that number, automatically we get connected with Krishna. And what is our credit to contact him? The credit is how we perform devotional service. Or even though we don't have any credits of performing devotional service. It says in the sastras that even if one chants Hare Krishna jokingly or deridingly, one gets benefit. But he doesn't get necessarily connection with Krishna. He gets his sins nullified. He gets his sins burned up to roots. So Krishna is so merciful. He has two forms, actually. One form of Krishna is the Shyamasundar form, Archa Vigraha. Another form of Krishna is the Nam, Namarup, Nam Prabhu. And amongst those two forms of the Supreme Lord, Nam Prabhu is more merciful. We may appreciate the beauty of the Supreme Lord. No doubt, anyone who comes to Krishna Balaram Mandir, when they see our deities, they are flabbergasted, they're mesmerized, the exquisite beauty of our deities. But they may not have also the full realization of our deities as none different than the Supreme Lord. Only when they start chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that they will have full realization of the Archa Vigraha form of the Lord. Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. And we will not be able to fully understand that in the beginning because our senses are completely contaminated. Our eyes right now, because we want sense enjoyment, so whatever we want to see actually is for our own benefit. Ultimately, these senses are dead matter. Your eyes is dead. Not your eyes, our eyes. I have to use eyeglasses to see. But actually, who is seeing? See, this is the our senses. This body is made of gross and subtle senses. But actually, it is the soul who is embodied in this material form that is actually seeing. But because it is covered up by the most of material nature and maya or illusion, that whatever I would like to see and whatever I would like to taste, whatever I would like to hear, whatever I would like to touch, it is the soul who wants to do that, but the soul is covered up. And which means that I only wanted to do it for my own sense enjoyment. Now, when it becomes completely purified, Atasi Krishna Nadi Nabhaved Griyam Indriyai Sevan Mukehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spuridyada. These material senses are completely unpurified, contaminated. And I'm not be able to understand the name, fame, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. There is only one way I'll be able to do that, and it starts with the tongue. Sevan mukehi jivadho. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that amongst all the senses, The tongue is the most abominable. It is the most difficult to control. The tongue wants to vibrate prajalpa, things unrelated to Krishna. This is in the conditioned state. But when one starts to purify the tongue, especially starting with chanting of the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and especially tasting prasadam, then it becomes purified. It gets purified. Tongue is most difficult to control, but by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we'll be able to do it. One time, a disciple, Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I cannot control the mind. How can I control the mind? Very easy. You just chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, automatically your mind is controlled. But the problem is that we have this avidya, this taste for chanting is not there. This is one of the obstacles in devotional service. There are many obstacles in devotional service. We are sick. That could be an obstacle. We have philosophical doubts. That could be an obstacle. We have family problems. That could be an obstacle. We don't have taste for chanting. Now that is a very serious obstacle in devotional service. Who does not have a taste for chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Let's be honest now. Oh, thank you very much. You're very honest. I don't have. So what to do? What am I going to do now? I don't have a taste for chanting. I'm useless. Let me just go to Yamuna and give up my life. That is the goal. The goal of the soul is prema. Now, how to attain prema is that we have to chant Hare Krishna, but I don't have a taste. That means my determination is not very strong. We have to be determined, especially there are two types in bhakti. To attain prema is what you call Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. Now, Vaidhi Bhakti means we have to follow rules and regulations. It is a must. There is no shortcut. There is no shortcut. You cannot say, oh, from today on, I'll be spontaneous. Everything that I do is spontaneous. Because I have spontaneous love for Krishna, that is there. But then I have to be determined, I have to be spontaneous today. No. Prabhupada says devotional service is slowly and gradual. Just like him, for to ring 9 times, it takes him slowly. You cannot do like dig, 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 dig. He will not be able to do that because there is a certain way how to ring the bell, right? So when we do the process, especially chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we have to have a little bit of patience. But we have to do our part. I must do it. I must be determined. And we cannot take it for so easy. See, the Krishna will reciprocate according to our desire to see Him. Prabhupada gave an example here. When the senses are purified by devotional activity, the devotee understands everything about the Lord by the Lord's grace. Now we cannot do it on our own effort. No possible. It is ultimately through Krishna's grace. Krishna gives His mercy and spiritual strength. Where do we get our spiritual strength? Is it because we're chanting? Where do we get mercy? Because we're chanting? No. You get mercy and spiritual strength through Guru, the external manifestation of Lord Krishna. By the way, we follow the instructions sincerely, without any self-motivation, enthusiastically, the orders and instructions of our spiritual master, to the degree that we'll be able to get full mercy and spiritual strength to go on in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's not possible on our own. Sometimes you see devotees, skinny devotees, right? We have one devotee here. He goes on parikrama every day. And he only eats practically one time a day. But he's very enthusiastic. He's full of energy. Now, comparatively, if you compare that person to like a materialist, only eating once a day, no possible. He has to eat 10 times and still be lazy. So how to do this is that we have to have complete faith. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains there are two kinds of faith. Kamala Sraddha and Dridha Sraddha. Kamala Sraddha means very light faith. It can be extinguished any moment. And there is what you call Dridha Sraddha. Now that is very firm, that is very, it's like an etched on a stone, very difficult to erase. You know how the stone sometimes by the water, just by drops of the water, the stones will have a hole in it. How can it be? It's water. Water doesn't have any strength. Huh? Water is very soft by nature, liquid, no? But slowly, dripping, you know what happens to that pink water? What's going to happen? There's going to be like a small hole in there. It takes time. Right? It takes time. So similarly, this is the process of bhakti. Seemingly we're not making advancement. Actually, we should always think that we are not making any advancement. This is humility. Humility means trinada pi sunichena, lower than the straw in the street. Right? Lower than the straw in the street means you are surrender to the instruction of the spiritual master. And surrendering means humility. So it goes side by side. The more one makes advances in Krishna consciousness, then the more one becomes humble. We were discussing this the other day in the Bhagavad Gita. Meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. And the Bible says like that. Those who are humble, they're surrendered. And those who are surrendered, they get Krishna's prema, love of Krishna. So, at the present moment, we are not doing bhakti because we have many motivations. That's why Krishna is not revealing completely himself to us. So the more we advance in Krishna consciousness, then the more Krishna will reveal himself to us. For a materialist, They see Krishna, but they don't see Krishna as lovable object. They see Krishna as their order supplier. For the devotee, they don't see Krishna as order supplier. They see Krishna only as their most lovable object, undivided love. This is what you call bhakti. Only undivided love towards Krishna. And that is our goal. That's why we are here. That's why we're practicing devotional service. Otherwise, if you have any intentions, no problem. You'll get purified someday. But keep going. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. We will someday attain our desired goal. Some may take longer. Some may take sooner. There's a saying, the good ones always goes first. That means those who have accomplished in their bhakti, Krishna calls them immediately. Krishna has something else special for them to do. But for those of us who are still around, keep going, no stop. And someday, we'll reach that destination, Goloka Vrindavan. Right here we are in Gokul. Gokul Vrindavan, or Braj. There's no difference. This is replica. But are we appreciating Vrindavan, or we just want to enjoy Vrindavan? And some, they perform sinful activities in Vrindavan. Now that is abominable. Nevertheless, we cannot enter Vrindavan without the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is very merciful. There is no difference between Krishna and Vrindavan. Vrindavan without Krishna is not Vrindavan. Krishna without Vrindavan is not Krishna. They're inseparable. Vrindavan is an expansion of Sarup Shakti of the Supreme Lord. Actually, it's expansion of Baladev, Balaram. Balaram, none other than Krishna. So we have to give utmost respect to Vrindavan, and especially to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the Brajabasis. However, it's difficult to find a Brajabasi these days. Even when Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur did his parikrama, he told his disciples, I don't see no Brajabasi here. Not a single person is Brajabasi here. Because actually a Brajabasi is one who is fond of cows. To be a Brajabasi, you have to love cows. If you don't love cows, you cannot be a Brajabasi, because that's where you're going to get in the spiritual world. Cows, right? That's it. You have to love cows. If you don't love cows, you will not go back to Goloka Vrindavan. So we have a nice Gosala here. Please take advantage of the cows there. Go there at least once a week. Oh, it's so close by. It only takes 10 minutes to get there, but we're so lazy to go there. Doesn't even come to our mind to go and see Lord Krishna's cows. We're busy with our own personal agenda besides going to see the cows. Okay? So we'll stop here. Hopefully we learned something today, and that will keep us going day after day after day after day. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So it's Pasaram time. That's another Krishna's expansion. Try to remember that. Hare Krishna.